Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truths of that song. Lord, we know that someday you are coming back. We know that as this earth decays and as sin seems to be increasing as we see it today, we have the hope that you are in control, you are in charge, and you will return. We thank you for the assurance that we have of being with you for all eternity. We just pray now that as we turn to your word, that our hearts and minds would be still before you this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you are so organized that you never have a mess? All the dishes are always clean. Every piece of laundry is put away. And every tool is put away in the garage. The carpets are always swept. And even in your car, all the cups are thrown away. The bottom line is, there are always times when we all have experienced a mess or two that needs to be cleaned up. For me, it's usually the garage. When I'm doing a project, I often neglect to put things back where I got them. Then I start another project and do the same thing. I leave a wrench on the bench. The pliers are over on a shelf. I leave the saw out on the floor. I finally get to the point where I cannot find anything. It's at this point I have to stop what I'm doing and clean up my mess. I take time to put everything away. And I don't know about you, but when I'm cleaning, I find myself throwing things away that should have never been kept. I ask myself, why did I keep this? You know, at the time, it didn't seem like a big deal to keep it. But over time, these things add up and make a huge mess. I wish I could say I've gotten to the point where this never happens. But no matter how hard I try, usually I end up with a mess that needs to be cleaned up. But today's message is not about keeping our homes clean and tidy, but what I have described can be a reflection of our spiritual lives. We can start off with good intentions. Everything is in order. We attend church regularly. We read and study our Bibles. We spend time in prayer, praying for our church, praying for each other, praying for the leaders of our country. We do a good job of resisting temptation. We deal with sin as it comes our way and confessing our sins to God and repenting when we've done wrong. Then we get busy. It may be something at work, or for those who are retired, it could be family coming to stay with you. It might be unexpected health problems. Right now, it's rainy season and the yard needs mowed twice a week. The to-do list at home can keep growing. The car breaks down. The refrigerator quits working. Next thing you know, you're skipping church so you can get caught up. You struggle to find time to study Scripture. And your prayer life has dwindled down to a few prayers before meals. This is a dangerous place to be, yet if we're honest, we've all been there. We find that our spiritual tank is on empty. We're being tempted by things that usually are not a problem in our lives. We find that we're running short on patience and get angry easily. As a result, we distance ourselves from other Christians. We don't want to let them in, fearing that they will see our spiritual mess. Similar to when we don't invite people over to our homes that have not been cleaned. The author of Hebrews gives us a warning concerning this. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." The things which we have heard is a reference to the truths contained in Scripture. If we're not careful, we will drift away. If you've ever been out on the water, you know what it is to drift. You know, if you fish, you can go to the perfect spot and stop the boat motor and start fishing. And if you're catching fish, you may not notice it, but you drift away from where you started. All of a sudden, you may not even be close to the shore at all. It's a slow process that is gradual, but can take you a long way without you noticing it. Kind of like some of the messes I described this morning. Usually this takes place in our lives in the form of sin. It happens slowly and gradually as we've drifted away from God's Word. We have drifted away from the church. Next thing you know, we know there are sins in our lives when we're not even sure how they got there. The question we want to wrestle with this morning is, how do we get rid of all the spiritual clutter that we've allowed into our lives? This morning we're going to take a look at a certain king in the Old Testament and see what we can learn by his example. We're going to look at a few highlights from Hezekiah's life. And I would encourage you to spend time studying through this on your own time, because we will not be able to cover all of it this morning. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Chapter 29. We'll be looking at through chapters 29 to 33. First of all, we need a little history on Israel. Israel as a nation had their ups and downs. They rejected God as their king and desired to have a king over them like other nations. Saul, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, would be their first king. After Saul, David, and then his son Solomon. After Solomon's reign, the kingdom would be divided. The northern portion would be referred to as Israel and the southern portion as Judah. As we read through 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, we are given an account of all these kings. We see both good and bad. Often the kings are described as those who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord or those who did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. This morning we're going to focus on Hezekiah, one of the kings who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. As we begin in chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, we see that Hezekiah is introduced. We read in verses 1 and 2, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the eye and the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. You know, we read that he was 25 years old when he became king. We are told his mother's name and the name of her father. But most importantly, we are told that he was a good king. We read in verse 2, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. As we study the life of Hezekiah this morning, we will see that he brings spiritual restoration to the nation of Judah. Now, if we're going to take out the spiritual trash in our lives, there are a few steps that we can follow. And the first step is to seek God. Now, I'm going to have you do a little page turning this morning as we go through Hezekiah's life. But we will also have the scriptures on the screens this morning. In 2 Chronicles 31, verses 20 and 21, we read, thus Hezekiah did throughout all of Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. In every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, so he prospered. I want to draw your attention to verse 21. We read that he sought God in all that he did. This tells me Hezekiah wasn't doing this to make a name for himself. He was seeking God so that he would make good choices. Some have compared Hezekiah to Solomon. If you remember, Solomon asked God for wisdom so that he would know how to lead the nation of Israel. But what about you this morning? How often do you seek God in your daily walk? Do we seek God as we make decisions? You know, as Christians, we are representatives of God. And this is why it's important to seek Him in all that we do. Like, I know some of you have bumper stickers or something on your car that makes it clear that you are a Christian. This is a great idea as long as you don't drive like a crazy person. Nothing says Jesus loves you more than being cut off in traffic. And so we need to remember, seeking God is a lifelong process. There was a point in time when Hezekiah allowed pride to get in the way. In 2 Chronicles 32, verses 24 through 26, we read, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. What a reminder. This was a man who was seeking God in all that he was doing. Then pride crept into his life. Obviously, God was aware of what was going on. In fact, we read that wrath was looming over the king and over Judah. You know, if we're not careful, we will allow pride into our lives. We will do things our way instead of God's way. This is a battle we face each and every day. Each day we should ask ourselves the following question as we get out of bed. Am I going to seek God in all that I do today? And as we continue on, we see a second step if we're going to take the trash out. And that is to evaluate the situation. In 2 Chronicles 29, verses 6 through 9, we read the following. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken Him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, have turned their backs on Him. They have shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offerings burnt, or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and He has given them over up to trouble, to desolation and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Hezekiah has taken time to evaluate the situation. Not only has he evaluated their current situation, but he understands how they got there. As we seek God, it will allow us to evaluate our spiritual condition. There are times we live with clutter in our lives and we are not aware of it. Much like the clutter that has been placed on the stage this morning. It can represent our lives. It doesn't all appear at once, but over time we end up with a mess. Sometimes our spiritual lives are represented by what we see up here this morning. This is why we all need to take time to evaluate. As we seek God, it will equip us to evaluate our lives. This is what Hezekiah has done. It's almost like he's given a State of the Union address. The temple was shut up. The lamps were not burning. No incense. No sacrifices were being made. All as a result of their disobedience. We can see some of these very things happening in our country. People are turning from God. We see the depravity of man unfolding before our eyes. Our country is in need of revival. But in order for that to take place, we need to do some housekeeping in our own lives. We need to evaluate the things that do not belong, the things that do not glorify God. It's not easy, but necessary. It's necessary if we're going to grow in our faith. The clutter in our lives keeps us from growing. This is why it's important to hold to the first steps to seek God. It's important that we give an honest evaluation of our spiritual lives. As we do this, we may need to seek reconciliation with a fellow brother or sister in Christ. It says we ask some difficult questions, we will be able to make an accurate evaluation. And this leads to the next step, which is to make a plan. Not only did Hezekiah evaluate, but he also made a plan. And not only did he make a plan, but he implemented it. In 2 Chronicles 29, verses 3 through 5, we read, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. Now, the first part of his plan was to clean house. We see the word filthiness. Yeah. This was anything that was in the temple that was not sanctified, or anything that was not set apart for the service of God. We read about this in the book of Exodus. God was very specific about what is to be in the tabernacle. The same was true for the temple. But what about us? How many things are in our lives that we need to get rid of? Anything that keeps God from being the center of our lives needs to go. You know, my wife and I have moved a few times. My wife come up with a slogan, when in doubt, throw it out. You know, this should probably be part of our evaluation process. If we're not sure, then it probably is something that we should get rid of. The bottom line is this stuff in our lives will not go anywhere on its own. This is why we need to make a plan and then implement it. And there are some things that we need to prioritize, but there are other things that need to be destroyed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31, he says, now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke down the pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. We read that they destroyed all the idols in high places. Folks, there are things in our lives that need to be destroyed. Not just rearranged. Not just moved to the garage or the attic. It needs to be destroyed. If we don't destroy them, they make their way back into our lives. It may mean we have to get rid of certain books that we may enjoy reading. We may need to delete social media accounts. We may need to even end certain relationships. We need to be... I know of a man who was struggling with pornography who even chose to throw his computer in the trash. Whatever it is, if you are seeking God, if you take time to evaluate, you will know what needs to be destroyed. We continue on, we see another part of his plan, and that was to worship. 2 Chronicles 20, 29, verses 25 through 30, we read, "And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with string instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offerings on the altar. And when they burnt, the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshipped. The singers sang, the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph, the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped." You know, this had to be an exciting day. Something that had been missing for years. You can sense the excitement. The doors of the temple have been opened. The trash had been taken out. They have gathered together to worship God. Instruments are being played. They were raising their voices in song. Offerings were being made unto God. A sweet time of worship. You know, you and I have gathered together this morning for the same purpose. We have lifted our voices in song. We have the opportunity to worship through our giving. Worship through the teaching of the Word. But yet it's possible you are here this morning and have not been able to worship. See, worship comes from the heart. And if your life is full of spiritual clutter, it will keep you from worshiping. You're simply just going through the motions. If this is true of you this morning, I would encourage you to go back to step one. Begin by seeking God and then evaluate. Find out what it is that keeps you from worshiping. But not only did they worship, they celebrated. In 2 Chronicles 30, verses 1 through 5, we read, "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, and that they should come to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month, for they could not keep it at its regular time because a sufficient number of priests had not been consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered together at Jerusalem. And the matter pleased the king and all the assembly. So they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, since they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manner." You know, it's easy to get down. It's easy to look around at what is going on and get discouraged. Over the last several months, you cannot turn on the television without seeing something political. All kinds of natural disasters taking place. Wildfires, floods, extreme heat. The good news is that God is still in control. As His church, we have a reason to celebrate. I have to wonder if Hezekiah didn't sense that the people of Judah may have still had some doubts. You know, the Assyrian army was a major threat. The Assyrians had already conquered several other nations. Could Judah survive an attack from them? And I have to wonder if this isn't one of the reasons why Hezekiah chose to celebrate the Passover. We're told that it wasn't the standard time, yet they chose to celebrate it anyway. You know, the Passover is a celebration of God's deliverance. God delivered them out of slavery. He has destroyed Egypt along with Pharaoh's army. That it's a reminder that God, of God's ability to be faithful to His Word. And the Passover celebration is done to ensure that they never forget God's deliverance. This is the reason we celebrate communion. Jesus gave the Passover new meaning the night He was with His disciples in the upper room. It is a time to celebrate what God has done for us. It is because of the body of Christ that our sins have been paid for. It is because of the blood that was shed that we have been freed from death. Jesus paid the price so that we could be saved by faith. Communion is to be taken seriously, but it's also a time of celebration. Celebrating what God has done for us. I believe as Christians, we don't celebrate enough. We should celebrate more than just around the communion table. We should celebrate daily. Celebrate that God has given us a new day. Celebrate when God answers prayer. Celebrate when someone accepts Christ as their Savior. Celebrate when someone has victory over sin. The reality is, without God, we can do nothing. Without God, there is no reason to celebrate. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a reason to celebrate. You have been saved from your sins. You've been saved from eternity in torment. And He has given us the assurance of eternal life. You know, church, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Only you know. Maybe your life's full of clutter. Clutter that has kept you from growing in your faith. Clutter that has kept you from worshiping this morning. Clutter that needs to be thrown out. Some that needs to be destroyed. Possibly you're here this morning and don't even recognize that you have clutter in your life. For this reason, I'm going to ask you, take time to seek God. Take time to evaluate your life. Make a plan. Get rid of the trash. Destroy what needs to be destroyed. Worship God as He is worthy of our worship, and celebrate what He has done. In a minute, we're going to give you a chance to respond to today's message. As we do so, I pray that you will take time to evaluate your life this morning, examining yourself as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank You that as we've gathered here this morning, that we can celebrate. We can celebrate that we are Your church. We can celebrate that we are Your children. And we can celebrate that we have an opportunity to serve and worship You. God, as we prepare to sing our last song this morning, I pray that Your Spirit would be at work in this room, bringing to light those very things that we need to get rid of in our lives, bringing us to worship You and in a way that You deserve this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.